Okay, if you've got a Bible with you, please, if you want to turn to Psalm 119. Pete was saying this morning, I believe God's telling me, and this is the early prayer meeting, he says, I believe God's telling me to read out Psalm 119. And I said, well, I'm going to do what D.L. Moody did. And D.L. Moody, someone started to pray a very, very long prayer in a prayer meeting. And so D.L. Moody just says, and while Mrs. So-and-so is finishing her prayer, the rest of us will stand and sing the hymn. So while Pete would be reading Psalm 119, we'll be standing to sing a song. Okay, I'm just going to pray again and ask for God's blessing on his word this morning. And the reason we're praying again also is because, you know, there are people who are listening to the talks as well through the website, and we want them to be able to understand that we look to God to help us in the delivery of his message. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this morning again we come to you and ask you please to open our ears to hear your voice. Lord, we said last week that you are God who speaks, and therefore speak this morning, Lord, to each of us, and help us, Lord, to truly understand what it is that you're saying. We thank you, Father, for your word. And we pray, Lord, like the psalmist, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week I asked the question, how do you think people get to know God? And I was joking last week about, you know, somebody stopping me at the door and saying, what do you call your man or your woman that sits at the back of the church on a Sunday night? And I said, well, guess what? They speak. Go and ask them. So I asked the question, how do you think people get to know God? Well, guess what? He speaks. God, the Creator's chief way of speaking to mankind, of speaking to his creation, is through his written word. The Bible. The Bible is God's word to all mankind. And this is the thing, that the Bible isn't written just for the handful of people that attend church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. The Bible is God's word to all of mankind, to believer and unbeliever. And therefore, as John was saying, when God speaks, every person should take heed of, value, respect, and learn from God's word. Unfortunately, the vast majority don't give God's word any consideration whatsoever. Even though God himself warns in Psalm 119 verse 21 that he rebukes the proud, the cursed who stray from his word. However, if anyone wants to know God, then they need to listen to him speaking. They need to listen to his word. As I said last week, we're delving into Psalm 119 over the next number of weeks to see how it actually teaches us to value, respect, and learn from God's word exactly what our attitude to it should be. Because it's hard to believe that Christians can have a bad attitude to God's word. And I got told off last week because some people were offended by my views of the word for today. But the point of the matter is, when people raise these stupidly booklets up higher than the word of God, when they have more time to spend in those type of things than the word of God, it's disrespectful to God's word. And so Psalm 119 teaches us how to value, respect, and learn from God's word exactly what our attitude to it should be. And we, like the psalmist, should say, open my eyes. And I said this last week, thankfully I learned at a very early stage in my Christian life to pray this prayer, and I pray it every morning before I turn open the pages of the Bible. I pray, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You see, when we understand, as I said last week, when we understand that God's word is creative, that it is decisive and redemptive, how can we not love it? It's creative. It brings into existence things that do not exist, or it shapes and forms things that do. And so this morning, as I said, even in praying, We're praying to a God to speak His word, to bring into existence things that don't yet exist, or to shape and form things that do. And that is the whole purpose of prayer. God's word is decisive. God decides, and that's just how it is. And His word makes His decisions happen. It's an active word. But it's also redemptive. By His word, God reveals His grace and His mercy. Let's read this morning from Psalm 119, and we're going to start at verse 1 to through to 9. The psalmist writes, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man or how can a young person cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your word." Walking in the law of the Lord. Keeping the Lord's testimonies, His precepts and statutes. Looking into God's commandments and not being ashamed. Learning His righteous judgments and taking heed of His word. Is this how we think about the word of God? Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day. Billy prayed this morning in the early prayer meeting that he doesn't love the word of God the way he should, but he wants to. And that should be the prayer of each of us. Lord, give me a greater love for Your word. I wonder, do we like the psalmist, who had all of his own problems, all of the difficulties in life that we too face, do we, like the psalmist, take heed of, value, respect, and learn from God's word? Do we love His word enough to guard what He has spoken to us? Do you hear that this morning? Do you love God's word enough to guard what He has spoken to us? You see, I've been considering over recent weeks things that Christians say, but maybe don't know what we mean. Things that Christians say, but maybe don't know what we mean. And if you take Billy Connolly, for example, Billy Connolly is brilliant at this. He says, do you ever hear the things that people say? And you ask yourself, what does that actually mean? I'll take my hand off your face. What does that actually mean? Except when he says, the fright of house, the speed that it gets put on your face in the first place. Or in Northern Ireland, you'll hear people saying, listen, put that coat on you. It might drown you, but hey, it'll keep you dry. What does that actually mean? As I said, when my dad died, the funeral directors came with the wreaths to our house and asked, is this where the dead man lives? Christians are desperate for saying things that we don't know what we mean. Years ago, a man asked me, was I washed in the blood of the Lamb? And I thought to myself, in all honesty, I thought, well, that must be a Christian ritual that you have to do if you're a new believer. And I suppose I should have answered, I'm on my way to the abattoir right now. At the Bible study recently, I questioned, what does it actually mean to be blessed? Or what does it mean when we stand with our hands up, smiles on our faces, and say, bless the Lord, O my soul? Do we actually question what it is that we're saying, and why we're saying, what do these things actually mean? And so this week, as I've been questioning a lot of things, this week I've been thinking about, pardon me, about spiritual warfare. You see, I often hear people say to me, I've been under serious attack from the devil this past few days. What exactly does that mean? Is there like a wee red devil with a fork and a tail and horns, you know, catapulting things at me? You know, what exactly does that mean when you come to someone and say, I've been under serious attack from the devil these past few days? And it made me think, can we or should we maybe view spiritual warfare differently? God speaks. He speaks to us through his creative, decisive, redemptive word. And when we believe this, we are truly blessed. And the word blessed that I'm wanting to present here this morning is that we are blessed in that we are set apart. Set apart from the vast majority of people in the communities around about us. Because we believe God's word, therefore we are blessed. We are set apart. God speaks, and he has always spoken. He spoke, and the earth, the heavens, the creatures and man, etc., were created. And in the Garden of Eden, God spoke his decisive word to man, saying, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can eat of any of the fruit that you want, but you do not eat of the fruit of this tree, or else. But what happened next? Satan immediately came and got Eve to question what God had said. Did God really say, you shall not eat of the fruit of this tree? Now let me ask you, was Eve under attack by Satan? Listen again. In the Garden of Eden, God spoke his decisive word to man, saying, you can do this or that, but you cannot eat of the fruit of this tree. And Satan immediately came and got Eve to question what God had said. Did God really say, you shall not eat of the fruit of this tree? So was Eve under attack? Everybody's scared the answer. She wasn't. I can understand why you said yes, because I said yes. But Eve was not under attack. Satan wasn't attacking Eve or Adam. So what was Satan attacking? He was attacking the word of God. Did God really say, you shall not eat this fruit? It was the word of God that was coming under attack. The battle centered on the word of God. It was the word of God under attack, not man or woman. And here's the interesting thing when you think of spiritual warfare a little differently. Nothing has changed in 2015. Satan still attacks the word of God in us. He comes to us in every situation that we face and seeks to make us doubt God's word. He fills us with doubt. Did God really say this or that? He fills us with unbelief. Well, God may have said this or that, but it doesn't really apply to you. He seeks to alter what God has said, adding things to God's word or taking things away from it. Or he aims to dilute or pollute the authority of God's word. So, for example, how often have you heard Satan say to you, where is God who said he would never leave you or forsake you? Where is he now that you're here on your own? Or if God said he would supply all of your needs, well, why are you in want today? We could all put our hands up and say, well, I've heard Satan say things like that to me. Satan can be both subtle and blatant in his attacks. But is he attacking us? Or is he attacking God's word in us? Don't get me wrong, and Jimmy's right when you say yes, because we very much feel attacked and feel under attack when Satan comes against our minds. But is it us, or is it the word of God in us, or both, that Satan is attacking? From Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through to Moses, God spoke his word, challenging their human thinking. And he still challenges ours today. As I said, I'm questioning all these things. And Satan also comes against us to challenge what God has spoken to us. So if you're going through something and God says, I'm going to be there with you, when you get that sense of being on your own, Satan is going to come and challenge that word of God and say, but where is your God? God caused this word to be written down because down through the generations, he had purposed that through it, he would speak to his people in every generation. And in every age, Satan seeks to undermine God's word. When God gave his word to Moses on Mount Sinai, when he gave him the Ten Commandments and all of the other laws and regulations that were written down, he did so to ensure that his creative, decisive, and redemptive word would be taught to others. He didn't get it written down just for the sake of having a book. He got it written down because it was through this book, his creative, his decisive, his redemptive word, that God, down through the generations to 2015, would still be speaking to people through this. It wasn't simply on Mount Sinai about God giving commands, they've got to do this and don't do that or else. It was about much, much more. How could anyone honestly say, oh, how I love your law, oh, how I love your word, if all it ever did was show us how far short we fall, or it continually made us feel condemned? You see, the absolute opposite is true. It is God's word telling us how much we are loved and how truly happy, truly blessed in life we will be if we love his word and have it dwelling richly in us. The answer to a happy life is to have the word of God dwelling richly in your heart. And if God's And if we love God's word and have it dwelling richly in us, it actually works. It's creative. It speaks into existence things that don't exist. Now, imagine here that it's in your heart. The living and active word of God is dwelling richly in your heart. It's creative. It will speak into existence in your life things that don't exist. And it will shape and form things in your life that already do exist. It will transform us. And guess what? Satan sees the transformation and he hates it. And so he comes to attack God's word in us, seeking to fill us with doubts about God's word, fill us with unbelief about God's word, for he tries to dilute or pollute its authority in us. Quite simply, Satan seeks to rob God of glory by robbing us of faith and trust in God and in his word. So is it really us, or is it God's word in us that is under attack? well, maybe it is both. This is something that I'm questioning. But you can be sure, if you're coming to me and saying, I'm under serious attack from Satan, I'm going to ask you, what word is it that he's seeking to undermine? Psalm 119 mentions God's law, or God's word, his creative, decisive, redemptive word, in almost every verse of the 176 verses. And you know why it does? Because it celebrates the word of God. It tells us that the only way to be truly happy in life is to love and to live the word of God. Verse 1 starts, blessed, happy are the blameless or the undefiled. That's those whose sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. You are undefiled in God's eyes. It says, blessed, happy are the blameless or the undefiled who walk in the ways of the law of the Lord. Or who walk in the law of the Lord. And it's not knowing the law of the Lord that brings happiness. It's walking in it. It's living it. It's about living as people who know that God speaks, listening to him, and doing what he says. There's the difference. It's about living as people who know that God speaks, listening to him, and doing what he says. See, when the enemy, when Satan comes against us, we hold fast to the word the Lord has spoken. So, when you're feeling alone and abandoned because of sickness or whatever else, and the very heavens feel like brass, and you don't seem to be able to get through as you pray and cry out to God, and Satan comes sneaking in and says, where is this God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Where is he now that you're sitting here on your own? You've got to hold fast to the word of God, which says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And throw it back in Satan's face. Though all of my flesh turns against me and feels like God has abandoned me, still I will hold fast to his word that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, when he comes against us, what else have we got but the word of God? And as we hold fast to that, we know that it is something so precious that we will guard it with our very lives. Walking in the law of the Lord, keeping the Lord's testimonies, precepts, and statutes, looking into God's commandments and not being ashamed, learning his righteous judgments and taking heed of his word. Is this how we think about the word of God? Well, it should be. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Do we take heed of, do we value, respect, and learn from God's word? We should. Because it gives life. It gives true happiness in life. Do we love God's word enough to guard what he has spoken to us? You know, I watched the 12th of July and some of the parades, and one of the things that I love is watching for the banners come. And I tell this story all the time, but I love seeing the banners coming down, and there's ones where you'll see like a cross coming up on a rock and the waves all around it and people clinging to it. And I just think it's amazing when you see that picture, because what it's trying to say is when the storms of life come all around you, there is a rock upon which you can trust the word of God, and you cling to it and you hold fast to it no matter what the waves and the tempests may be saying or doing. And whenever you're going through the storms of life, the only thing that you can rely upon and hold fast to and guard with your very life is the word of God, because that is the very thing that is going to sustain you. And though all of hell comes against you, it cannot defeat the Word of God. So do we love God's Word enough to guard what He has spoken to us? So when Satan comes, so you're lying in this hospital bed, and where is this God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Sure you know you're abandoned. Sure you know you're left on your own. I think you're right, Satan. I'm going to turn to the Muslim. But some people give up the Word of God like that. And it's like, it just goes away. Anything for the easy life in that sense. You can't do that. If you want to be truly happy in life, even in your sick bed, meeting with God in a beautiful way, you've got to hold fast to the Word. And when Satan comes in there, you say to him, it is written. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And I'm going to believe what God has said. God's creative, decisive, redemptive Word brings into existence things that don't exist, or shapes and forms things that do. Remember I said some time ago that as you hold fast to the Word of God, as you get your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the Word of God, there'll be a suddenly comes in your life as God honors His Word, and Satan and all the hosts of hell are driven back in terror. God's Word makes His decisions happen, and by His Word He reveals His grace and His mercy. Jesus, the Son of God, who is the Word of God, promises us in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus' words to you and to me this morning is this: if you, speaking here to us in 2015, if you continue in my word, if you hold fast to my word amid all the storms of life and in the good times and the bad times, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So when Satan comes against you to attack God's word, you know the truth, and holding fast to that truth, you shall be set free. And so, like the psalmist, may we be able to say, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Christian, ask God, like Billy was saying in the prayer meeting this morning, ask God to give you a heart that loves His word, to teach you His word, so that you can understand what it means when that creative, that decisive, that redemptive word is spoken into your life. Because God in 2015 is still a God who speaks. Maybe this morning there's someone, an unbeliever, who may be listening. I could nearly guarantee that Satan right now is opposing God's word by telling you that you don't need to repent and be saved. Don't listen to that nonsense about God speaks. Where is this God? Surely if He existed, He would show you a sign in the skies, or He would do something wonderful for you right now. And Satan comes in trying to undermine God's word when God's word commands that you repent and believe the gospel. You see, the unbeliever says, because of Satan's lies, if God would only show me, then I will believe. And God would say, turn around, you believe, and then I will show you. You've got to hold fast to the Word of God. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your word. Because right now, even today, God is speaking to you. Listen to what He is saying. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You this morning that You are a God who speaks. We thank You for the Bible, Lord, and we pray that You would help us to treasure it more and more, Lord God, and that prompt us, Lord, to read it more and more, not to be puffed up with knowledge, but, Lord God, to know Your love and to know that Your creative, Your decisive, Your redemptive word is speaking to us even this day. Lord, may we, like the psalmist, meditate upon Your word day and night. And when the enemy comes in against us and seeks through his lies, Lord God, to undermine Your word, Lord God, to rob You of glory by robbing us of faith and trust in Your word, help us, Lord, to resist him. Help us, Lord, to guard what You have entrusted to us and to speak Your word back to Satan that he will flee. And we, Lord God, would know that Your word is a sure foundation upon which we can trust. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.